Greetings to you, kind viewers. We're glad to have you here for part two of With God's Love, Christian Vegetarian Association. Last week on Our Noble Lineage, the association shared with us their message regarding God's teachings of benevolence and the reverence for the lives of His creations. We also travelled to England's Isle of Wight to visit All Saints Church in God's Hill. There we met with Father John Ryder, a delightful Anglican priest and spokesperson for the Christian Vegetarian Association. In last week's mention, as the consciousness of the world elevates, lifestyles also change. People become more aware of the impact of their actions and choices, particularly on the precarious state of our planet. Recent years have witnessed more people turning to purer, plant-based diets. As a result, vegetarian organizations are dotting the globe in rising numbers. One such organization is the Christian Vegetarian Association, or CVA. The Christian Vegetarian Association is an international, non-denominational ministry dedicated to respectfully promoting healthy, Christ-centered, and God-honoring lifestyles among Christians. The organization achieves this through websites, lectures, Bible study, discussion groups, and leaflet distribution. Throughout the Christian calendar, the association seeks to encourage, support, and equip all Christians, irrespective of denomination, through compassion for all of God's creatures. They see vegetarianism as a reflection of their faith in the God of love, justice, and peace. Father John Ryder offers his views on the cost of taking the lives of our beautiful, innocent animal friends.
How do you think mankind is having to pay for this mass slaughter that's happening every day?
I think the obvious things are in global warming and in disease of various sorts, especially such things as heart disease and cancer. But I think the deeper issue is that whenever we disregard another living being, further calluses grow on our soul. As soon as you regard any other creature as dispensable because they're not the same as you are, where are you going to draw that line next? It will become higher and higher and higher. I think that line should be got lower and lower and lower until, first of all, animals, then insects, then plants are also embraced within our compassion. And we do read in the book of Genesis, when God made these things, he saw they all were good, not just humans.
With ever-increasing frequency, animals are making headlines around the world for their unconditional acts of heroism, selfless sacrifice, and compassion. In a world strained by everyday stress, animals are always there for us in our low moments of despair, offering their comforting companionship and affection. What is it about them that allows animals to bring about these wonderful changes in those they meet?
I think the greatest healing of all is love.
Yeah.
And they have a depth of love which I think is not tarnished by our intellectualizing, our selfishness. But although they don't actually need a human, they will often go far out of their way to provide comfort for that human.
Yes.
And that totally selfless love is helping to put us back in touch with what God is like, because he showed us to have totally selfless love, something which very, very few humans are capable of.
Yes.
But I think one sees it far more clearly, both in terms of animals with each other and animals towards humans.
So it could be said in some cases that animals were actually put there to help us back to that state, to show us that.
Yes. Yes, I think the evil that has entered the world has entered not only, but mainly through humans.
Yes.
One is not saying all animals are innocent, but comparative to the destruction that humans have caused, I do think we can learn a great deal from animals about what it means to have pure love and also to live the simple life of enjoying God's gifts for the moment.
Yes.
And not worrying about the future, not worrying about other things, but merely enjoying what God has given you to enjoy for the present time. And that means each other.
It seems that animals have retained this precious, direct inner connection with our Creator, a connection that much of humanity appears to have temporarily forgotten.
So I think that would be quite a message to people. The simpler you make your life and the less complicated it is, the less you demand from it, the more peace you could have, and probably the stronger connection
with God. Yes,
with God.
Certainly, yes.
Yes.
There was a saying, live simply so others can simply live. Yes. Yes, we clutter our lives with far, far too many things, and there's only one thing necessary. When Jesus was having a meal with his friends, and one sister was complaining that the other sister was leaving her to do all the housework, while she just sat at Jesus' feet and listened, Jesus said to the one that was fussing around doing all the housework, you're worrying about far too many things. Only one thing is necessary. Partly he was saying, you're worrying about far too much food. Only one little food would be fine. That's all we need. Then you too can come and listen here. But also, you're worrying about far too many things. Your sister, who's thinking of coming and listening to me rather than fussing about housework, has also chosen what is more important.
When we return after this brief message, we will kindly request Father John to share with us his recent and much inspiring sermon. You're watching Our Noble Lineage on Supreme Master Television. Welcome back to the conclusion of With God's Love, Christian Vegetarian Association on Our Noble Lineage. As the spokesperson for the Christian Vegetarian Society of the United Kingdom, Father Ryder shares the association's message of loving compassion for God's creatures. At our impromptu request, he graciously agreed to share the following speech.
One of the problems with meat eating is that it is addictive. Once a community starts to eat meat as a norm, they want more of it, and more often, to the detriment of their health, the environment, and above all, to the detriment of the animals involved. The reason for the continued prohibition on the eating of pig meat in Judaism and Islam is its similarity to human flesh, and the fear that eating it would spark a desire in those who had not left cannibalism that far behind. And I also know that if human life is going to continue on this planet, then global warming must be brought under control, and factory farming and meat eating must end. The only way you can escape this conclusion is if you can justify a carnivorous diet for a small, privileged minority and deny it to the rest of the populace. And such a justification cannot be made by any religion I know. On a universal scale, the dividing line between love and enlightened self-interest is very fine. There is this understanding gained by learning. There's also the understanding gained by the heart. I've experienced animals who have at least as great an understanding of my needs and as great a concern to meet them as I've had of theirs. I do not really believe this is just the anthropomorphic fantasy of a pet lover, nor am I talking about the number of testified instances of pet dogs, and on occasion a rat, another a parrot, waking and rescuing their human companions from fire or other disaster. Rather, I wish to point to a far more subtle distinct understanding on the part of the animal towards human need. If you'll allow me just one story. When I was at theological college, we had a cat named Percy, whom we had rescued from a soon-to-be-demolished brewery. We had a neighbour named Abby Arthur, who came from a family and a culture that did not understand pets, and who saw cats either as rat catchers or as food. It was also a culture that saw being alone as one of the greatest deprivations possible. If they saw anyone sitting alone, they would go and rescue them, often to the annoyance of those of us from a Western background who enjoyed being alone at times. Now, Abby Arthur, due to the poverty of his parents, did not have much schooling. So to pass his exams, he'd get up every morning at 4 a.m. to study. And what he hated most about this was having to do it alone. We arrived in Abby Arthur's second year, and soon his ordeal of studying alone was over. Well, Percy, our cat, would be at his desk every morning at 4, and would keep him company until the rest of the family got up. Percy, like most cats, was content with his own company. But he knew Abby Arthur was lonely, so went daily to keep him company. When Abby Arthur told us about this, he said, "You know, Percy is just like a person." Quite so. It is not uncommon for an animal to take a successful part of psychotherapy, for example in the Pilsen community, where a person is not able to relate to other humans through an autistic spectrum disorder or through a nervous breakdown, perhaps caused by the nastiness of their fellow humans. It is often an animal whose love can reach through to them and restore their ability to relate. There are signs of hope that this attitude of compassion towards animals is becoming more and more mainstream within Christianity. For those of you who have not read it, I do recommend to you The Dream of Pope John Paul II, which he had about cats before becoming Bishop of Rome, as well as his and Pope Benedict's pronouncements on animals. As previous and present leaders of more than half the world's Christians, their pronouncements make very encouraging reading. But we have a longer way to go yet. In the interim, the killing of plants and the consumption of dairy and eggs, but only if freedom farmed, might be considered by some to be justifiable. Nevertheless, I do believe the clear witness of the Bible is this, that we should all be working towards a society where not even a plant, let alone an animal, is killed for food. It was like that in the beginning. It will be like that again when God's kingdom comes.
With such a positive and hopeful vision for our future, Father Ryder leaves us with this last message.
Not only for the sake of animals, but firstly for their sake, but for your own sake, for the sake of your friends and for the sake of your descendants, try to reduce and end up stopping eating any meat and then any dairy. It will do you the world of good and will do the world of good. Thank you.
Noble viewers, it has been a pleasure having you here today for part two of our interview with the joyous Father John Ryder of the Christian Vegetarian Society of the United Kingdom. Please stay with us for Between Master and Disciples, coming up next on Supreme Master Television. Wishing you and your loved ones a serene Sunday and a blessed new week.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/NL.